Brother Charlie, would you pray for us, please? Amen. Are you reading the Bible every day, praying every day? Everyone that reads the Bible through this year can come to the Bible Reader's Banquet free of charge. Every watermelon has an even number of stripes. Every orange has an even number of sections. Every ear of corn has an even number of rows on it. And every stalk of wheat has an even number of grains on it. There was no Big Bang. Evolution is imagined. It's imagined like we were talking about there last week. Every bunch of bananas hanging on a tree, the lowest row is uneven, the next row even, next row uneven, next row even. If you got it, I'll stop. I'll keep going. If you got it? Okay. Okay. Here's the one that knocks me down. The waves of the sea roll in on the shore 26 times to the minute in all kinds of weather. That didn't just happen. There's a designer behind that. All the grains are found in even numbers on the stalk, and the Lord specified 30, 60, and 100-fold, all even numbers. God has caused the flowers to blossom at a certain specified rate during the day, so that Linnaeus, the great botanist, once said that if he had a conservatory consisting of the right kind of soil, moisture, and temperature, he could tell what time it was, day or night, by the flowers that were opened and those that were closed. That was not the result of a bang. Right. It's more than a master designer. It's God. Yes. It's God. It's not just a master designer. The eggs of a potato bug hatch in 7 days, a canary 14 days, a chicken hen 21 days, ducks and geese 28 days, mallard 35 days, parrot and ostrich 42 days. The Lord did that. That could be 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, or 6 weeks. The Lord done that. He designed it that way. He made it that way. The last time we tried to start the book of Genesis and the book of the Bible, Brother Jeremy, the veterinarian, he got up here and gave us a lesson. He reminded us that deer come in the fall. Horses come in the spring, and God worked it out where deer carry their babies 6 months, horses carry their babies 11 months, and they all have babies in the spring when they need to, when the grass is getting green and it's warm weather. Easy on the mommy that way. So, God has two books, the inside book and an outside book, and they're both true. They're both true. You can count on it so much. If you're going to start farming, you buy you some Black Angus, you know for sure next year they're not going to have giraffes. They're not going to have they're not going to have a hippopotamus. They're not going to have a duck. Amen. They're going to have Black Angus. Right. They're going to have Black Angus. God did that. And we'll see more about that a little bit later. On his outside book, let's look at that in Romans 1. Go ahead and open your reliable historical documents that were written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses and record supernatural events in fulfillment of specific prophecies and came from God and not from man. Romans 1, 19. Because of when they may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Like Brother Rick's not thankful sometimes. My biggest sin is pride and unthankful sins. Pride and unthankful. Well, how about his inside book, Brother Rick? I'm glad you mentioned that. How about Psalm 40? Psalm 40, verse 7. Then said I, the Lord talking, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written for me, written of me. He's in the book. You want to see him? Just get in the book. He's in there. He's in there. The Holy Bible has no quarrel with true science and their discoveries. They match. They're the truth. They're the truth. Don't be afraid that someone's going to find a scientific fact that's going to contradict creation. They're not going to find the missing link. There is no missing link. That's imaginary. That's a fairy tale. They'll never find it. There are no facts for evolution. No facts. The Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. That was written down 3,500 years before man discovered it, unless he believed that in Leviticus. The blood carries all of the life processes to the body. The blood absorbs the oxygen from the lungs and carries it throughout the body. On its way back to the lungs, it picks up the carbon dioxide and carries it out. The blood does that. The blood distributes digested food as fuel to the various parts of the body, wherever it's needed. The blood causes cells to grow, bones to grow, flesh to grow, hair to grow, and your fingernails to grow, and stores fat. The blood feeds life to all the organs of the body. The blood repairs the body, closes the wounds, grows new skin and nerves. The blood immunizes against and fights diseases. The white corpuscles kill infectious germs. The brain without blood flow dies in 5 minutes. Blood flow. Job 26:7. Blood flow. He stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. God wrote it down 3,000 years before man figured it out. Isaiah 40:22. He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Columbus read it and believed it and discovered America. And he said, hey, the earth's not flat. Isaiah said it was a circle. And Columbus believed it. Some today don't, but Columbus believed. Genesis 22:17. That in blessing I will bless thee. This is God talking to Abraham. In multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed, talking about Abraham's seed, shall possess the gate of his enemies. That was about 4,000 years ago, and Abraham's seed's still around.
Yeah.
Just like God said. Every time man discovers a bigger and better microscope, he figures out that, hey, there's more stars than I thought there was.
Yeah. Yeah.
He finds more stars. Luke 16:31. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Here's what Moses said. In the beginning, God. God was here first a long time before anything else. Moses also said, in the beginning, God created. And say anything about evolution. That's what Moses said. Jesus said, if you don't believe Moses, you won't believe me. John 5:46. I'd go ahead and go with Moses. And the Lord in particular. John 5:46. and 47. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? You won't have any trouble understanding your Bible if you believe Moses when he said, in the beginning, God.
Yeah.
Then if you'll go one more notch and believe him when he said, in the beginning, God created, it'll really help you in your Bible study.
Right.
You won't have any trouble with the Bible. Acts 17:26. We'll get to this a little bit later when we get to Noah and his kids, his sons. But also, this is a little sideline, a little rabbit track. It won't cost you nothing. It'll be the same price. But while the Lord was creating everything, he made them one race. That's the human race.
Right.
I know there's black people and yellow people and red people and white people, but the Lord made one race.
Yes,
one race. He tells us right here, Acts 17:26, and he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Why would he do that, Brother Rick? Well, it's in 27. That they should seek the Lord. That's what we're all supposed to do. If happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us, he's close, for in him we live and move and have our being.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, amen, and amen. One boy come running to his dad and said, Dad, I thought you said God created us. Well, he said, Son, that's right, God did create us. He said, Mom said we come from monkeys. The dad said, Well, that's her side. That's her side of the family. If evolution were true and we're animals, then it wouldn't matter how we live. Teach your children they came from animals and they'll start acting like it. There's no good news in evolution. There's no good news. There's no salvation. There's no redemption. There's no good news in evolution. Creation science is true. It's real science. We're accountable to the Creator. Our Creator, my Creator. I'll take him. I'll take him. He's mine. Man is not the authority or the owner. Now, sometimes I goof around when I leave a room, especially young people. I'll say, I'll pick one out. I'll say, you're in charge. I got to go. But Philip won't let me get by with it. Philip said, no, God, there's just one in charge, God. And that's right. That's right. Philip's got it figured out. God's the only supreme authority, and he has every right to tell me what to do and expect me to obey. Now, that's what they want away from. What you believe determines what you think. And what you think determines what you do. And what you do determines your life. Who's in charge anyway? Well, it's the Lord. It's God. It's the Creator. And His Son. The Son is Creator also. Daniel. Let's look at Daniel. Here's one guy that didn't know that. Daniel 4. Starting in verse 30. The king spake and said, this is King Nebuchadnezzar, if you look up in 28. Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? So see, Nebuchadnezzar's got the same problem Brother Rick does, his pride. That's the same problem Lucifer had. That's why he got kicked out. His pride. I is the middle letter in pride. Downstairs every Sunday morning, Brother Don prays for the buses and the snacks, the treats, the food. Prays over the bus drivers. And this morning he prayed we'd get rid of self.
Amen.
Self is the problem. See, and the problem is we all got one. Mine's as big as yours. Verse 31. While the word was in the king's mouth, while he was yet saying it, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. Uh-oh. He was bragging on what he's going to do, and a voice come from heaven and said, I'll show you. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High, capital H, Most High, ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Now, if Brother Rick goes out there in the field and starts eating grass, you're going to call him names and stuff, and you're going to make fun of him and point and say, looky there. The Lord knows how to humble. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were growing like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the day, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and my understanding returned. He was in his right mind now. And my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is the everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. When I tell Brother Jeremy, I say, morning, Brother Jeremy, how you doing? He'll say, pretty good for a nothing. Pretty good for a nobody. That's what he tells me. And he doeth according to His will, in the army of the heaven among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my Lord sought unto me. And I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the capital K, big K, King of Heaven, all whose works are truth and His ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, He's able to abase.
Amen.
Evolution's a lie.
Yeah.
It's for people that don't live in reality. There's some things that started in Genesis and end in Revelation. We went over those not too long ago when we started Revelation, so I'll go kind of fast. Over here in Genesis 1:10, you got the gathering of the waters together, and it's called seas. Over here in Revelation 21, it says no more sea.
Right.
No more sea. Over here, the first Adam and his wife reigned over the earth. Over here, the last Adam and his wife, the church, is going to reign over the universe. Over here, the sun, moon, and stars was created in verse 5. Over here, chapter 21, no need of the sun or moon. The Lamb is the light. Over here, day and night was created. Over here, no more night. We'll be done away with. Over here, cursed is ground for thy sake. Over here, no more curse. It's where we're headed. Over here, the tree of life was denied to sinful man. Over here, the tree of life bears 12 fruits for the healing of the nation. Over here, Satan appears to torment man for a while. Over here, he disappears to be tormented forever. Over here, the old earth is punished through a flood. Over here, the new earth is purified by fire. Over here, man's early home was by a river. Over here, man's eternal home's by a river. Over here, Abraham weeps for Sarah. Over here, the children of Abraham have God Himself wipe away all tears. Over here, God destroys an earthly city. Over here, God presents a heavenly city from sky. Over here in Genesis, it ends with a believer in a coffin. Over here, Revelation ends with all believers reigning forever in eternity. There's a lot of first in Genesis. Genesis is the only book that records God resting. It records the first human created, Adam. It shows the first human born, Cain. It tells of the first man to die, Abel. This is like a trailer. We're getting a preview of what we're going to see. We're trying to introduce the book of Genesis and the Bible. The book of Genesis is a record of the first man not to die, Enoch. It shows the glory of God in creation, tells of the grace of God in salvation. In chapter 6, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It records the earliest civilization, the Canaanites, in chapter 4. It shows the oldest citizen, Methuselah, in chapter 5. It shows the first marriage, the first murder, the first promise of a Messiah, the first human religion in chapter 3, the first divine redemption in chapter 3:21, a first sinner drowned, the first saint that got drunk, the first ship to settle on a mountain, first tower to rise out of a plain, out of the desert. It's the first mention of sin, the Sabbath, the marriage, family, labor, civilization, culture, murder, sacrifice, races, cities, languages, redemption, grass, water, stars, fish, sun, moon, trees, flood, and light. The Word of God's like a hammer to break a stronghold of sin. It's like fire to purify us. It's in Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23:29. It's not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh the rock to pieces. My old cold, hard heart. The Word of God will break it up. The Word of God's like a mirror to show me where my spots and smudges are and my imperfections, where my hair's not in place, out of place, not combed right. James 1:23. For if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth. The preacher's been talking about fruit that remains on Wednesday night, and we need to continue. Yeah. I need to continue. There's no place to turn around. The way's too narrow. No place to turn around. Continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. The Word of God, it's like a sword to fight the enemy. Ephesians 6:17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God's like water to cleanse us. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Why? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. The Word of God is like milk to nourish us and to feed on. Milk's the most perfect food. If you didn't have anything but milk, you could live. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. The Word of God is like a seed planted in the soul. Matthew 13:23. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. The Word of God's like honey. It's sweet to the taste. Psalm 119:103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The Word of God is more precious than gold. Psalm 19:10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than also than honey and the honeycomb. And even though God's name is precious, he's placed his word above his name. Psalm 138:2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And I think we read in here one morning, there's 350 names for the Lord. Now, my plan is to have a little commercial break here. If you want to go to sleep, it'd be a good time. But Brother Jeremy reminded us, and some may not know this, but the Mountain State Baptist Church has a Bible Institute. It meets every Thursday night. And there's about 20 people meet here and about 20 meet in homes. You can do that at home if you want to. And Brother Jeremy reminded me this morning that it's early enrollment. And you can save some money if you enroll this month. And I've never done this. The preacher's recommended it a few times. Brother Jeremy has a few times. But also, one reason I'm doing this at this time, this is semester one. And there's the book for semester one if you want to look at it. Later on, I'll let you look through it. It's like a workbook where you fill in the blank on Thursday nights. We meet together and fill in those blanks and watch the first hour. We'll watch on this first section of the book. And this semester, that's Old Testament. This semester, it's going to be Genesis. Sister Nancy reminded us of that Wednesday night. I'd forgotten about that part. But then also, then in the middle, for an hour, we'll watch something about the New Testament. And this time, this semester, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that's exciting. Everybody wants to know about that. But then I was going to mention it because the third hour is theology. And I know that's a big word. But this semester, we're going to study about how we got our Bible. And that excites me. I really like that. This might be my favorite semester. And also, as we go through here, he'll have a quote out of some book somewhere, and he'll have a picture of that book in the margin. And because of that, I've built up my library.
Yeah.
That's another reason to enroll. And actually, when I get through with this three-year course, where in 3 years you read every word in the Bible, I'll have my own commentary. I will have filled in six of these workbooks, and I want to know something. I'll just go in here and look it up. It's like an own personal commentary. Now, the first semester, I think these prices are right. I got it out of an old book. They may have went up. The first semester is $157, and that's because you buy this book one time. And every day you have a little bit of homework in this book and a little bit in the Bible. And the instructor will be sure and tell you, though, that this is the only perfect book. And I was always gun-shy about going to Bible college because I heard all these war stories about preacher boys that left here and went off to Bible college and came home not believing the Bible. But on a regular basis, our instructor tells us you can trust your Bible. And sometimes, some nights, I go down there making marks how many times he says it. And I'm sure we disagree with everybody on something. I'm sure I disagree with him somewhere. But I'm not afraid to recommend it.
Right.
I recommend it. And you can trust your Bible. I think that's it. Dear Heavenly Father,